Motion to approve the agenda.
So moved.
Is there a second?
Second.
All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Now it's time for public comment. Anyone from the public? 3 minutes. Everybody knows the drill. Hearing none. Let's go on to the approval of the minutes of the April 9th meeting. Any additions, deletions, corrections?
So moved.
Is a motion? Is there a second?
Second.
All those in favor, aye?
Aye.
Any opposed? CEO?
Yes, the only thing I have is just to communicate with the committee regarding the, I didn't agendize it, but regarding the volunteer community members, which we have a couple of here present today that have been with us for, what's it been? 3 years? Yeah. So the board recently approved committee policy, which is allowing us to add up to 4 committee members from the community. And so just unless there's any objection, we would plan to start advertising for those applicants to potentially then interview at the next finance committee meeting in June.
Great. Well, it's actually very helpful to have extra eyes from the community here, and especially the experienced ones that are at this table. So great. CFO report. Who's doing that?
Let's see. I don't know if we have any. No. I should let you start doing one.
Yeah, you do.
Yeah. Go ahead. You
can do that. Well, I didn't prep this one, so I don't know what's on it.
But we never prep them.
I normally prep all of them, okay, but I was on. I was out.
No, go ahead.
So just to note for the Finance Committee, preliminary audit work begins next week. We'll have the audit firm of Moss Levy Hartshein here probably through Thursday doing their preliminary work, and then they will be here again for year-end work in early August. So our fiscal year-end is June 30th. So they come in and do a lot of preliminary work to get a lot of that out of the way before the year-end work starts. The annual budget is up and due for review, so we have that as part of our agenda today that we'll be looking at. Regarding the Las Palmas Medical Plaza, we have still 3 suites that are vacant. We, at the last finance committee, approved a marketing firm, a realtor firm, to start engaging some marketing to try to get those other 3 units. I think the 93.7 occupancy rate is pretty good, but we'd like to get it to 100% if we can. So that's all I have on the CFO report.
Any questions on that? No? All right, let's move on to the financial reports. First of all, you guys have anything you want to draw to our attention?
Say, you know, we're favorable as far as net income for the year compared to budget. We have a $3.8 million net income compared to 90 that's budgeted. Majority of that is because we straight-line the grant budget over the 12 months. And we haven't committed any or awarded any grants up until now, but we do have several that are coming to the program committee Thursday, and so we will see significant difference in that with the May financials.
Okay.
And we're doing quite a bit better on the projection on our investment accounts, thanks to our investment company, which we will get that in going here after we review the financials. So are there any questions that you have regarding the financial statements?
I'll just walk down from top to bottom if you've got questions.
Perfect.
The receivables and aging summary, any thoughts or concerns about that? How about deposits? Property tax receipts? Las Palmas Medical Plaza? Rents, deposits. We put the entire check register on in here so you can see what goes in and out.
And on page 13 on the Las Palmas Medical Property. And then item number 6431, let's see, and we had budgeted 208 and we ended up spending 1773. Is there something that happened there or that was?
I'm trying to remember the interior expense. Is that the Wolfson?
Sorry, which line are you on?
Yeah, we had a interior expense. We had a water leak in one of the units. Actually, if you look over to the right, it's actually 12,000. So we had a water leak there that we had to take care of, and that's the bulk of that expense.
Okay. I saw it. Wreckage out front where they cleaned that up.
Yeah, so what you're seeing over there now is the fire sprinkler system that we're that you approved $197,000 or $195,000 for a month or two ago. And so they are, actually, it's good that you mentioned that, should give an update on that. They are mostly finished. They buried a lot of the underground pipe at this point. They will be this weekend shutting down the driveway area so that they can open up the driveway and connect the two sides through the entrance to the plaza. We do have an inspection tomorrow to see exactly how far along they are, but they are tapping into each of the buildings that need that water or fire sprinkler service. So they're anticipated to be done, I think, in another week and a half or so.
I noticed there was a reference to solar parking lot solar panels. We have solar panels?
There's the parking over here for the hospital. There's solar panels. It's kind of like carport type things with their solar panels.
You seem very excited about it. They're not very productive.
Well, they're productive. We don't get the benefit of
them. Oh, you don't?
So.
Oh, okay.
We used to for a while. There was an agreement with Tenet that we would get rebate funds up to five years.
Uh-huh.
We have exceeded that, so there's no longer any solar rebates that we receive. So,
okay. Thank you.
But it supplements the hospital.
Supplements the hospital, yeah, as far as their expenses. So yeah, so it's a good thing. Plus, it gives the employees some shade for their vehicles as well. So.
Okay, I'm working my way down the receipts, the deposits, the register, detailed expenditure, the RPP, any protection plans going in?
We're seeing a few, you know, maybe a couple each month maybe that are starting to retire or leave from the, if you were to look at the dates of employment of a number of the participants that are still there,
it's shocking
how long that they've been serving at the hospital. So I think it's a testament to the good culture that's there at the hospital. So
good. Grant payment. Any questions on the grant schedule? Okay.
Oh, I did have a question on page 31.
Yes.
Okay, page 31. Oh, before we get to 31, page 27, what caught my attention was check to Fantasy Springs, 2853. Was that the day that we were out there?
That was it.
That's the day that we were out there, that we were fed and all of that. We did get a little bit of a refund back.
It was about 250.
This is kind of a lot for a movie.
For the audio visual.
Some of the issues were I went to different locations within Indio, and nothing was available for us to use. Nothing. That was the last resort. It really was.
Okay. Thank you.
Yeah.
It's good to know that.
And especially the location that we were trying to position that meeting.
Mark, can I
go ahead?
Something I'm going to bring up later today, but I think this committee might want to have a say in it too. There seems to be a lot of variation in how directors take expense reimbursement for things like miles, you know, from where to where and all that. Some directors don't take any, some take it for everything. And of course, you're supposed to go by what your policy is, and our policy is pretty vague. So I'm going to ask the policy committee to look at this, but I also think this committee should have a role, since it impacts the budget and financial administrative stuff and that too. So,
heads up. For the benefit of people here, that currently is $2,500
well,
annually.
No, I'm not, I'm not talking about the charitable events. I'm talking about mileage expense reimbursement.
Gotcha.
So, like, you know, you're entitled to mileage reimbursement for, you know, attending meetings and that if you choose to do so. But there's, we need to tighten up the specifics of that reimbursement policy to give a little more detail to it. So that
I would use the word clarify rather than tighten up. We need to clarify
is good, so.
Well, and it's different than an employee where you don't necessarily get expense reimbursement from your home to your work, you know, but on the other hand, when the meeting's out in Indio, is that different? And what about somebody who lives in Indio is coming here? That's not fair. So I think we just need to do it so that we're all clear with the policies.
Good. Thank you.
On the grants, going to 31, I was curious about some of these old grants that are listed in 2016. We have Boys and Girls Club, Unexpended Funds, and Jewish Family Services. Are those just continuing?
Can you get the numbers? I'm
sorry, page 31.
No, the grant numbers.
To it. Okay, so we have a 2016. We have Boys and Girls Club is
92215, 886,
I think that's the
name of the
clubhouse.
886, okay. So what you've got there, there was 16,900 that was unexpended.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And so we received that money back. So you see the two lines below, the 15,000 negative and the 1955. So those zero out now. So at the end of the fiscal year, those will be removed from the schedule after the audit.
Okay,
so.
Good. And the Jewish Family Services?
Same thing there, except for we have a $3,000 issue there that we're working on. And,
are there any agencies that have petitioned for a grant that we've declined?
Donna, I don't
know.
So.
There are some that are in question, like there's one organization, Alzheimer's Coachella Valley. They sent in an LOI for $10,000, and they don't have audited financials. So I requested audited financials.
Okay.
Some are on hold, but there's none that
we've declined, other than for our policy reasons. So.
And so Safe House, we still have a that one.
That was a 3-year grant.
Okay.
Yeah, what's up there?
Thank you. I thought that's a good program. So.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
By the way, on the Volunteers in Medicine, the 16,000 back is because they underestimated the number of patients they would see west of Cook, and so they had to give a certain amount of money back.
Okay, so that's grants. The district RPP and investment report.
Yes, Keith is here. Yes, so we have Keith Stribling from Highmark Capital to give us a little presentation update on our investment accounts.
Great. Nice to see everybody. This is the second board meeting. If you'll turn to page 10, I believe hopefully your page numbers will be the same as mine.
Look at the small number in there.
94, is that right?
Okay.
Yeah.
42 in there.
So it'll be the asset allocation summary for the retirement plan, the diversified portfolio. As you can see, at the end of March, the account balance was $4.9 million. It's over $5 million at the end of April. I didn't look at it yesterday, but... the target weighting is about a 60-40 mix of stocks and bonds. As of the end of March, it was at 62.5% stock, so modestly overweight equities, fixed income, and alternatives, cash making up the balance. You'll turn a couple more pages in. You know, unfortunately, page number challenged, but I'm okay.
You give us your page number.
We can see the little page numbers.
Okay, we're at page 15.
Okay.
That makes it much easier.
Yeah.
Portfolio performance. So it was a good recovery in the quarter, portfolio up about 8.5%. Kind of an uninteresting year in general for equities. If you look along the top line of total equities, you can see the equities were up 3.75%. The MSCI All World Index, which if you think about a diversified portfolio of small cap, large cap, international, US, you know, that's kind of a very blended benchmark, so in line similar to that. Longer term portfolio, 10-year period, of course, is a good point to come because it's 10 years ago, it was pretty close to the low in the stock market during the financial crisis, so portfolio up 9.5%. But yeah, it had a good quarter. You know, we could talk about what happened if you want, I can give you a brief summary of it, what went on, because it's been a wild ride for the last, say, 7 months. So last quarter, let's go back to last September. Yes. So last September, market looked great. Everything was fine, but there were some things brewing underneath that weren't as good. Trade disagreements that were leading to trade to tariffs. I believe we were disagreeing with everybody on the planet on trade, but in particular China. The Democrats took back the House, so that brought checks and balances back to D.C. The housing market was slowing, and it was a combination of the Fed raising rates all year and interest rates rising both on the short end, and the yield curve was remaining steep at that time, so 10-year Treasury was over 3% even into November. The GOP tax bill that was passed before really had somewhat of an unintended consequence on the housing market in that the state and local income tax deductions disappeared, as well as limitations on mortgage interest deductions. So higher end homes really became much more expensive with a combination of higher interest rates and limitations on the tax status of home ownership. That really started to hit the high end housing market, which basically is all of California. Compared to the national average. Then in December, the Fed suggested they were far from neutral, and all hell broke loose, basically, and the stock market really panicked. Yield curve flattened and even inverted. So an inversion of a yield curve is sort of where higher short-term rates are higher than intermediate and longer-term rates. Usually that occurs when the market is anticipating a slowing of the economy, and it gets very inverted when it's anticipating that short rates are restrictive to growth and going to potentially create a recession. So with the housing market slowing, with the Fed talking about raising rates further, there was a fear that we were going to overshoot on interest rate side and it was going to cause a recession. Then we got into January, and you know, all I can say is if Donald Trump is yelling at you publicly, which he was yelling at the everybody, but really yelling at the Fed chairman, it must be really chewing you out privately. So next thing we know, we got to January, the Fed said, you know, that whole thing about a long way from neutral, we're not raising rates anymore. And risk assets were off to recovery. It also looked like Trump and Xi and China were going to come to some kind of resolution on the trade disagreement, and all risk assets recovered through April. It's been a tremendous rally. I think small cap, smaller cap stocks were up 16.5% in the quarter. I think they were up 20% through April. So you see that'd be sort of the quote unquote riskier asset class. So we had a nice recovery in general. Then we got into, it looked like they were gonna have a trade deal. And then I think kind of what I'm reading occurred is the Chinese negotiators and the US negotiators came to some general framework. It went back to Beijing and they said, yeah, we can't do that. And so then they came back with it and it had been changed. And so the US was like, no, that's not what we agreed to. So now, Trump is threatening more tariffs, and that created a real spill in the market. It kind of spilled over yesterday when China said, well, we're going to retaliate back. Yeah, now they're softening their position again. At the end of the day, I think both leaders want a deal. But, you know, the really tough part is intellectual property rights and how, basically the Chinese, basically they backward re-engineer our products all the time. And, the Trump administration has just had enough of that. And China is now, global, 25 years ago, 30 years ago, when they sort of did this, they weren't really an economic powerhouse. Now they are, so it's time for them to, really get their own economy in that regard and not just take ours and reinvent it. So, that's going to be the hard part. On the one hand, if they ever did figure this out, I think it would be really super positive for the stock market. But, I don't think they're going to figure that one out exactly. So I don't know how that's going to play out over time. Like I said, I do believe both leaders need some kind of a deal because both of them are having their political troubles. In terms of questions, housing was a question, I think.
Before you move on to that, can I ask a question?
Sure.
So you don't have a crystal ball. So
no, I do not.
You can't tell us what's going to happen between now and they actually meet for the two leaders. So when we see the stock market taking all these dips, we shouldn't be all that concerned right now? Is that just
well,
kind of
here's
right
what
now?
I would just say to that. For a portfolio like this, a very long-term time horizon, so, Warren Buffett has a lot of great sayings. One of them is be greedy when others are fearful, be fearful when others are greedy. I think another good saying is the stock market in the short run is a voting machine, and in the long run it's a weighing machine. And so, unless we really saw the economy turning decidedly negative or, slowing dramatically, we wouldn't get too worried about the ups and downs of the stock market.
So it's like a longer term, like a 6-month steady thing.
I'm thinking when we're talking about 5 years.
Six years.
6 months is, anybody's guessing game, as you can see. I mean, it's just in this last 6 months, we had a market down about almost 20% and up almost 20%. So, if you went on vacation, a trip, and you didn't pay attention to the news and you were like hiking in the mountains or something, nothing happened, right? So, if you got caught up in the moment, then it's, not really how we try to handle our investments.
What's the scuttlebutt regarding, future?
Plus, if you don't sell, you don't lose.
Right.
Right.
You only get hurt if you jump out of the boat.
There's been lots of talk about 2020 potentially being a downturn or a recession.
So there is talk about that. And so maybe talking about the yield curve a little bit. So the yield curve implies, the yield curve typically is the bond market's opinion of things, is sort of how a picture of the bond market's opinion. And so the yield curve right now is suggesting one of two things. Either the Fed needs to lower short-term interest rates, which of course I think there's a certain person in Washington, D.C. that's yelling about that, or that the economy is going to plow through this and intermediate, 7 to 10 year paper should be higher, interest rates should ratchet up from here. They're too low compared to, how strong the economy is. There's another dynamic in all of this and that complicates matters, and that is globally, interest rates are basically at zero. So we have very high interest rates compared to the rest of the world because our economy is really doing very well compared to the rest of the economies in the world. And so if you're a German bond investor or you're a Japanese bond investor, you're basically getting 0% for a 10-year treasury equivalent.
Or minus.
For a long time there was some minus rates, exactly. There was a period of time where one of the Nordic countries, you could actually take a mortgage out and they would have to pay you. It's just very confusing, hard to even comprehend, but basically they were paying you to take money because, the thought was deflation or the asset prices were going to fall. And so even though they were paying you, you were going to be paying in the end with an asset that depreciates. But effectively, so that creates demand for U.S. Treasury that, you know, might not be necessarily as normal. So maybe part of our inverted yield curve has just got to do this with the ability of money to flow across borders more easily than ever. And so, you know, there's demand for treasuries from foreign investors that may not other, you know, nor, maybe wouldn't have been there at different times in history. So the yield curve is a little bit confusing, but basically either rates probably should be going up a little bit or the Fed eventually may have to cut. Now, if they can't come to an agreement on the trade agreement, probably the Fed's going to end up cutting because probably that's going to slow the economies. Doesn't necessarily mean they'll go to, into recession or into a you know, negative, but it's all, sometimes it's about the delta, right? So, you know, the, if you think back to high school math, which I'm sure you all just can't wait to do, you know, the rate of change or the first derivative is the growth rate, and the rate of change or the rate of change, or, you know, is it growing? Is it growing at an accelerating or a decelerating rate? So even just growing, you know, you can still have positive growth, but at a slower rate than it was previously, and that can affect, you know, investors' view of you know, risk taking and valuations. So, you know, we could get into a period where the economy is still growing, but maybe growing at a lesser rate, and so then, you know, that can take on, you know, help hold down interest rates, which, you know, is usually supportive for asset prices. Anyway, so you can see generally the portfolio has done well. That's kind of the context of what's going on right now. I don't really know what's going to go on going forward. I do believe those two leaders need a deal, but I also know Trump's got some guys in his camp who feel very passionate about this issue of protecting intellectual property rights, and that can be a sticking point. So maybe they'll come to something that says, you know, over X number of years, you have to dial back your stealing of our technology or something to that effect. I don't know. But how they enforce that, you know, that would be kind of like just everybody could see through that probably.
Right quick before we move on, excuse me. Just for a noting purpose, so the $4.9 million is the value of that RPP account. And the balance that we have for actual participants that have investment in that, the RPP program is $4.2 million, so we're about $700,000 above what the principal balance of those payouts would be. So,
yes, your plan's in pretty good shape.
Yeah.
All right, if we could maybe turn to my page would be 25. Hopefully yours, you can find that page number as well.
57.
This would be the fixed income portfolio. So the asset is a, it's a, it's a conservative fixed income portfolio. It's 90% in treasuries and agency securities, 11% or 10% of it basically in money market at the moment. Actually, I bought some bonds recently. Going to the next page, page 26, kind of gives you the characteristics of the portfolio. So the duration is about 2 years, coupon about 2.3%. It's, you know, you can see down there, it's AAA rated, basically. The thing that says NA is probably just the Federal Home Loan Bank Board. Maybe they don't have a rating by Standard & Poor's, but it's all get, it's all government agencies and government and treasury bills. So in terms of page, if you go to page 28, you can see the performance. Actually, for a conservative portfolio, for the one-year period, up 2.7% is not bad. The longer histories are compounded numbers, so, you know, if you're up 1%, 1% compounded is not just that it went from, you know, 100 to 101, but that 101 compounds over time, which is true for the other portfolio as well. When you see that, for example, that 10-year number up 9.5%, that's not, we didn't start with $100 and we have $109 in 10 years. That's a compound number. So 9.5, 9.5, 9.5 in the interest earnings compounding as well. That's about all I have right now.
So this is the first time that I recall us in the retirement plan having more cash than needs.
Yeah, cause remember what was literally about a year and a half ago, we decided to fund the balance, and there was discussion about whether, you know, putting enough money in there to cover the pension liability, and the ultimate decision was to just fund it with what the balance of the principal balance of each of the participants was. And at that point, it was $5 million. So we took it up to $5 million, and we're still holding it above $5 million, even after, you know, we paid out several.
So that's the smaller number, the where you can invest a little, you know, in stocks and things like that, whatever. But it's also the number of hospital employees who, for 20 plus years, have believed that we were going to do the right thing, and we ultimately did. And that's the key, because this is, they're counting on us for the retirement. The other, which is regulated by the state, essentially, is the district itself can only invest in treasuries and pretty highly rated securities, things that don't fluctuate much. But that's where the majority, so we've got like $5 million over here in the retirement plan. And the best news I've heard is it's now fully funded, which we tried mightily to make sure would happen. I mean, these people that work for the hospital have been here believing in us for a long time, and it feels pretty good to make sure they're going to have their retirement money. And the other is our money, which is done just fine with overtime, and we have to operate within the requirements set up by the state and the federal government, which is you can't buy risky stuff. So.
But I did notice that one of the things that caught my attention was when I looked at the investment policy, that it says that we shouldn't be investing in soft drink company, and we have Coca-Cola. Does that count? Where's my Diet Coke? I don't know, just kidding.
Yeah, Coke is probably in there.
It could be in a mutual fund or something. We didn't have this sort of no tobacco.
I know you have no tobacco.
Was Diet Coke in there?
So it says soft drinks.
Soft drinks.
I did not see soft drinks.
Diet Coke.
So how's
it
doing?
We have Coke.
It's low performing, so it's okay to get rid of it.
Yeah. So there's no soft drinks, huh? I did not see that in there.
Yeah.
We do have Coke as a whole one. I can get rid of it. It has done pretty well for whatever it's worth. You know, it does have water.
They have water products, right?
They have water products, they have orange juice, they you know, they got coffee.
So
not all of it's bad, just for the record.
So that was the rationale.
They have a lot of other products. So, you know, it's funny because I don't know how long, but Coke has expanded its portfolio over time. So maybe a long time ago it was more dependent on soft drinks, but it's a lot more diversified company now. Yeah.
But we'll take a look at that because I see a couple others on there.
All right,
I think we pulled that off before.
I've looked at that and I didn't see that in there. I just saw no tobacco and...
So
well, as long as we made money, you guys can fix it.
We'll fix it.
Yeah, we can fix it. It's no problem. Yeah.
Great. A good point, though.
Yes, thank you for pointing that out. I appreciate it, actually.
All right, good. Any other questions on that? Investment policy resolution, is that 63? No, 64.
Okay, so this is what Lady was referring to, is the investment policy that the district has to... renew the resolution annually, so it has not changed from the last two or three years. We did, I think maybe it was either two or three years ago, we did add the soft drinks and I think tobacco products at that point, or no, soft drinks and fast food companies, I think we added then. We have always had the tobacco in there.
Okay, so is there a motion to approve the investment policy?
So moved.
For a second?
Second.
For clarification, just to a conflict, if you could just address that conflict.
We will. Okay. We'll make the adjustments.
Yeah. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Okay. number three, the page 67, legal fees, $25 more an hour.
Yep. So we've had our legal counsel now again. Jeff Scott has been with the district for several years. There was a little break for 4 or 5 years and has been back as the legal counsel of the district for probably 2 to 3 years now. He has been operating at $200 an hour, which is substantially lower than what the other law firms were that we entertained at the time. And Mr. Scott is now looking for an increase from $200 an hour to $225 an hour.
What's the gross expenditure? Order of magnitude?
For the year?
Yeah.
Yeah, we're about probably 200 to 220 a year. $220,000.
Which is a big year.
Yes, thank you.
Yeah, nice to see everybody again. Thank you.
Yeah, we've got a lot of adding directors, districts.
So that should come down over time.
Yes. Well, it depends on how much we're under fire. But with all this district expansion and all that.
Yeah, I mean, we just had in, I mean, we still have some things going on now with the rezoning and different things.
But go back prior to all that, it was under $100 a year.
Right around probably, it'd be 100 to 120.
Yeah.
So yeah, I mean, it's doubled, you know, based on all the expansion things, the rezonings, the whatever
we've
had
going on. That's not a...
Yeah, no, I mean, not for what we've had going on.
No, nor is this request unreasonable.
Right, yeah, right.
Is there a motion to approve?
So moved.
There's a
second.
Any further discussion? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed?
Okay.
Work, and now the our money. I mean, your money.
Right. Okay, so we're leading into the annual budget part of it. So the first part is the proposal for the 2019-2020 salary range and also job descriptions that we're bringing before the committee to consider. So a quick summary or a quick page to look at is page 70. So you'll see there the currently approved salary ranges for the positions in the first columns there. And then what staff is proposing for, and I apologize, I didn't get the right years, there should be 19 to 20 on the far right. Proposed for 19-20 is, and some of this is contingent on once we get the chief executive officer position filled, what the ultimate staffing structure will be. As we all know, we have had a separate COO and CFO, which currently the COO position is open, as well as the CEO position, which we will have filled within the next couple of months. So we'll determine at that point whether to refill the COO position. If that does not come to pass, the proposal is to revert back to the way it was prior to a couple of years ago, where the COO and CFO were combined positions. And so the recommendation would be to revise that salary range accordingly. And again, that's with the assumption that those two positions consolidate. Down
so would
below.
Would that start date be accurate then, if it's questionable as to if it would be consolidated or not?
Well, we did it at 7-1, assuming that we would have CEO by then, but we can certainly adjust that. 7-1 is just based on the start date of the
fiscal budget.
Below that, we have what's currently the NEOP health educator, who is Vanessa Smith. And at our last board meeting, Vanessa did a great job at promoting what the county is doing, transitioning from the NEOP program to a CalFresh program, which Vanessa will be working extensively with the food banks and the food pantries. And also Vanessa has been heavily involved in the Ready, Set, Swim and Ready, Set, Swim Junior programs. She's done an exceptional job. This would allow opportunity for her to step up into a little more of a responsible role. Giving her job title as Special Programs and Projects Manager. She will work somewhat with Alejandro, who is our external projects person, but they'll work collectively to establish those programs, and especially the Ready, Set, Swim program, which we talked about because of the expansion and needing to expand into the expanded area, there's substantial work involved with getting that established this current or this next fiscal year. So proposing a salary range of 55 to 75,000. This is a non-exempt position and starting that position at 57,000. The final one there below is currently our community health analyst, who is Megan
Connie.
I butcher it every time.
Connie West.
So Megan has been currently working under it's turned into about an 18-month grant-funded opportunity from the California Endowment. She's been extremely important in the information that's been provided and developed under that program. Staff is recommending continuing that position, but calling it a program and research analyst that will participate and support several functions that the district has going on. One of them would be involved with identifying potential funding sources, you know, keeping an eye out for, any kind of local, state, federal funding opportunities that the district may be able to apply for or tap into to leverage our funds to help with the expanded services to the expanded area. So that position we're proposing at a 65 to 85,000 range with a starting salary at 68,000. That would convene on 12-1, which is the November 30th is the end of the current TCE grant period. So we ask the committee to approve our proposed salary and staffing schedule.
Go back to that TCE money. Now, that goes away November 1.
Yeah, so we received the money front end on it. So mm-hmm. We received $200,000, and we've been working with those monies. The grant period was extended to November 30th. So we've been still working with those monies. There's sufficient monies there, and we do not need to return any excess funds from that. So it's been a completely funded position. We are now looking at it to be, the expense of that taken on by the district. There may be some potential future opportunities for some grant funding there as well that can help support that role, but currently it would be a district expense.
Okay.
So the salary ranges that you're proposing, you based it on some data that you got from
they're kind of different job titles in a sense, so we kind of had to look at kind of what's going on in the community and that sort of thing.
So
with some similar,
had something to base it on, something that you felt comfortable with, that
yes.
It's comparable.
Okay. Yeah, and for our location. And
I'm surprised that the program officer and outreach director actually could be exempt, but okay. That's fine. That's just
The current program officer and outreach director, yeah. And to that point, we are included in here. You'll see next is are the job descriptions that we'll be looking at to approve. But one of them is some job description change for program officer and outreach director, which is Alejandro's position. So we can take the staffing salary range proposal first and then go into the job descriptions, or we can take them all together.
The only thing I would ask is if you just check whether he actually does qualify for being exempt, and if so, if you're comfortable with it, then I'm comfortable with it.
Okay. Yeah, we did go through these with Jeff a while back, but I'll revisit it.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so I kind of missed what you want us to vote on the ranges and then the descriptions or together?
Probably what we should do is do them separately. Okay. And then that way you're approving each one individually. If you should have any questions or concerns about any of the job descriptions.
Got it. So can we act on the whole bunch of ranges?
You know, and if you want to do the whole thing together, that is fine too. I think it's up to you as the
I just don't want to vote that many times. I want to just walk through them, get the questions.
How about we walk through the job descriptions, we lay out any questions, answer them, we put everything all in
place.
If there's something that needs to be pulled or edited or questions that
Thank you for your honesty.
So, all right, well, let's roll into page 71, which is the Program Officer and Outreach Director. There's some modifications that we've done to that. The first two pages, or three pages, are the clean version. We have the redline version on page 74 through 76. You see that there's some changes in there. The bulk of it is changing from where we were doing the expansion part of it, and there was looked to be a lot of education. Outreach going on regarding the expansion. Now that the expansion political part of that is, or the voting part of that is complete, there are several outreach kinds of things that the district needs to continue to do. And one of them is the CVHIP project that is really, especially since we're converting that to the IE Connect, which is now costing us less money to operate than what it was on the platform that we were using previously. And the CVHIP also includes a back end, which is a case management function of that application. So it'll be very, should be and plans to be a very successful application that will be helpful to service providers as they are referring clients or patients to outside services. They can track and keep a case management on each of those individuals. So there's a lot of time that we have him committed to outreach and education in the community, as well as being involved with some of the programs. Also, he's taking on more of an active role in the grant program with our new grant software, and we'll be working with Donna grant scoring and working with the grantees on their grant applications, etc.
Chris, if I may add, on page 75, we talked about this. 10A, we were going to change that word solicit because according to AB 2019, which is now law.
Right, so identify opportunities and.
We can't solicit proposals.
Right.
Are you assuming the consolidation of the COO position?
I'm assuming that.
You're assuming
that,
and therefore that's the basis for the change in the reporting relationship?
Yes, initially. I mean, that may change. I mean, depending on what the... Because I think what I have in the final one...
The chief executive officer.
Is chief executive officer or designee. I didn't catch that in the in the final version. Or designee.
So if the COO position activates, that person will report back to that level.
I'm assuming so.
Okay,
yes.
Thank you.
It seemed like a lot of this requires an evolution kind of a procedure, rather than just hard and fast, you know, on paper. I mean, it's how two people work together mm-hmm. towards the same objectives, mm-hmm. and I think you're going to find that in practical use, you're going to learn each month as you go along about what this should really look like. So it's really hard to pin it down right today for what it's going to be. a lot depends on the people that you hire too.
Correct.
Absolutely.
Correct.
So 10A, what's the word that you want to replace a solicitor? So we replace it with what?
I don't know.
Identify opportunities. Yeah, we'll change that word to.
You can't ask for applications or for requests.
You can do requests for proposals, but you can't actually like say, organization ABC. Hey, wink, wink. We have some money if you want to put in a grant request for homelessness.
Yeah. So we can't be out actively soliciting, but we could say identify opportunities and review your appropriate requests.
But once they're in the process, like once they've begun a letter of intent, now they're in the process, then technically like the questions can be answered. But
just having a notification but not actually identifying a specific organization.
Right. That includes staff and board members, and they cannot go out, meet privately outside with organizations.
Go tell them that, hey, you know, go apply to the district for a grant for such and such. You can do fact-finding kinds of information with an entity, but can't be out actively, you know, soliciting grantees to apply for grants.
So like the old RFQ thing doesn't work anymore for this? Is that similar to it?
I think that would be okay because we are actually setting the outcomes, what we want. So we would, like you do with your mental health, uh-huh. You're actually putting it out there, and then out organizations that could qualify would then begin the process of saying, oh yes, I can help meet this outcome over here that you've outlined. See, but you just can't go out to an organization and say, hey, we've got some money left over, why don't you apply?
Thank you.
I got a question under the program officer and director. You referenced the East Valley office. I knew there was something in India. Is there another one in Coachella? Which?
No, actually what we have is at the RAP offices.
Okay.
We have a small office there,
yep.
and we're currently paying $550 a month for rent there.
Got it.
So it's very reasonable.
I think a lot of people don't think of Palm Desert as East Valley.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah,
so kind of, yeah. Okay. You know, and I guess at the time, you know, we didn't know. Maybe that language could be changed here, but you know, it was looked at, you know, east of Cook Street at the time. So,
should we assume no change in the benefits back?
Correct. Yeah, benefits package stays the same.
Okay.
Any other questions on program officer, outreach director?
Great.
Okay, so the special projects and program manager is the position that would be requested for Vanessa Smith, moving from the NEOP health educator position. And, you know, again, this position will be, you know, working with the new CalFresh program, working with the food banks, food pantries, heavily involved with Ready Set Swim and the expanded area that we'll be working with, as well as the Ready Set Swim Junior and any other programs that may develop along the way.
Okay. Program?
Program and research analyst. I think I kind of explained that before, but if you have any questions or concerns with that.
Okay. Any questions on the salary ranges and the job descriptions? Is there a motion to approve?
So moved.
Is there a second?
Second.
All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? None. Annual budget.
Okay.
Now we get serious.
That's right. All right. So I think the best way to do this is just go to page 86 and 87, which this is really the you know, summary breakdown of the budget for the year from the full district portion of it. We do have included in here summary basis, the Las Palmas Medical Plaza income and expenses. But as we get to that, we can look at the page 88, I guess it is, which breaks down the Las Palmas Medical Plaza.
88 of 94?
Correct.
What page
are
you on now?
But I think we could start.
Well, that's Las Palmas. He's saying 86, I think. Is that what you said?
What's the small number?
Okay, so 86 and 87 of 94 are the complete budget. So the district, and then you have a summary line item.
Page 5, Arthur.
5?
Of the small number.
5 of the small number.
5 of 13?
5 of 13?
That's it.
Okay, I think we're now.
Of the small number, yeah.
Yeah, so where's 5 of 13?
I can't even tell what that number is.
You're at 88, I'm at 86. No,
86 of the packet, but 5 of 13 of the budget. Okay, so the first two pages are the total budget for the district, which includes the Las Palmas Medical Plaza. And there's about a net profit on the Medical Plaza of around $235,000. So the budget for the year, we're doing quite a bit better on the interest income net wise. We had predicted last year, and just a brief history with that, and if we were to look back at the financial reports, we won't do that for the investment accounts, but we used to buy the bonds and the treasuries at about 4% higher than par. So that meant that we got higher interest, but it also meant that when we sold the bonds at par, that we were taking a loss at the time of sale. So we changed that philosophy about 3 years ago, and we've had those bonds that have been in, you know, like a five-year cycle that have been progressively maturing and expiring. So we're buying at the lower coupon rate, which means overall less interest, but the loss on those bonds is significantly less. So if you were to look at line 9999, which is the third line down, so you can see this current fiscal year we're in, I was still trying to be conservative with going 1.2 million as a loss on those investment, but we're actually looking to project about 485,000 roughly. So we had a good, very positive swing from what we had budgeted.
I have to pause you for a second. Your chairman's lost.
Okay. So
9999 is on page what?
Page 5 of 13 or 86.
Where's my 999?
So the third line from the top. Third line from the top.
Gotcha.
Okay.
Sorry.
No problem. Now you're probably looking down.
Yeah.
Sequentially. Yeah. So you're seeing where we're at then.
Yep. We
projected 1.2. We're probably going to come around 500 favorable. So that's making a significant difference in our projection then for fiscal year 2020. So that by the time we're said and done, we have we've got included in here for professional services, $640,000, which includes $500,000 for professional fees for consulting through processes that the board is working with facilities, programs and services, and that also with regard to the expansion, the redistricting, rezoning process, as well as the workshops, et cetera, that we'll be doing with the communications consultant.
So does that include the anticipated increase in legal for fees?
That's a separate line item here, but yes, the legal fee includes the increase. So we've got legal fees as $240,000.
So you are taking into account all the work that you're asking, that you're expecting for zoning, for all of those workshops?
Yeah, so what I, yeah, so what I've got in there is for the workshops with the consultant, the public forums with the rezoning, as well as the work with the board regarding, you know, facilities, programs, and services.
The LPMP numbers assumes current occupancy, it's based on current occupancy?
Current occupancy.
So if it fills, then you're gonna have a little cushion?
We should have a little bit.
A little cushion.
Right. Any questions that you see that you might have?
Well, this one is including the $300,000 for the grants for the East Valley, right?
That'll be on the foundation that we're looking at.
Foundation, okay.
On this, we have $3.5 million of grant budget earmarked for. We were looking at the $300,000 on the foundation coming from different sources than this grant budget, but there may be, you know, other opportunities that we'd be granting out of this $3.5 million. So say if there's still some leveraging of funds, that sort of thing, that we can use to help support the expanded area.
Well, am I correct in that last current year, the $300,000 was identified as being a good number to start with? But it's just to start with, so if there's any additional income, then we could look at increasing that for
Under the foundation side of things.
Mm-hmm. But that has to do with how well the district is doing to be able to influence the foundation or no?
Well, it was voted by the board to keep the current district funds separate from that and to look to increase the $300,000 by looking to outside funding sources, maybe leveraging funds to, you know, to help fund the expanded area. So the way the board has approved is for the current district funds to be utilized for the old area.
But I just want to make sure I understand that that number was just determined by the board, right?
Correct.
Okay, so there's no like legal issues if that number was looked at possibly increasing it.
Right,
okay.
If the board is all or to vote differently,
right.
Yes. But currently it's been voted to do to commit $300,000 a year for up to 20 years, but that's on an annual basis that $300,000 would be approved in budget.
And I'm just trying to understand this, so I'm not trying to push an agenda or anything, but so we are into almost the end of the fiscal year, so we've had almost, 6 months since November when the voters approved it, so 6 months. We haven't really used the $300,000 yet, right? It hasn't really been allocated?
Well, and to that point, we will be bringing to program committee on Thursday.
Okay.
So we've been doing these listening forums and that in the expanded area to gain information to help provide some guidance and direction as to some of the areas that we should focus those funds. So that's what we'd be looking to the program committee.
These questions would be more in line with the program committee.
Yeah.
So stop me if I'm going too much into it. So here's my last question related to this. So if we have an organization that the grants committee determines that it's a good cause and we want to fund them, and they are going to be providing services for residents on the West End and the East End, does that cut into the $300,000? Again, if it's a program question, tell me.
We can do that, but I can answer that. I mean, the $300,000 is supposed to be for residents east of Cook Street. That's the intention of the $300,000. If there are four residents of west of Cook Street, that could be looked at as grant from the $3.5 million on the district side. That for the east valley, but for the western part, we can look to funds from the district funds and not have to use the $300,000.
Thank you, appreciate that clarification.
And before you make a final decision on that, why don't we pop over to page 8 of 13. So this is the salary, the labor portion of the actual budget. So based on...
What page is that on our screen?
8 of 13 or
88.
80 something of 94.
Okay. 89 actually, I think, yeah. No.
I think it's this one?
86.
Oh, okay. So it's 8 of 13 of the...
Mine says 89
or 94. Oh, okay, one more. That's one. Okay, perfect. Thank you.
We've got multiple references.
Yeah. It's not
intentional, Chris. No, I think it appears to me like something. This is a lengthy agenda and things printed over.
So we're on that page, 8 of 13. So this is titled Director's Employee Expenses. So this includes the entire breakdown of staff. Currently, I have included in there the Chief Operating Officer. If that position is refilled, and currently have the position of Chief Executive Officer, which is open presently, starting at 205, but obviously that's still an open item there. And so on this page also includes the associated payroll or labor expenses regarding, FICA, Medicare, all the benefits regarding health, disability, life, dental, vision, as well as the co-pays that are reimbursed up to $3,000 to staff, the 401A plan, which is 8%. Contribution from the district to the employees after 6 months of service, that program begins. And then down below we have the director's potential compensation through stipends, as well as the up to $10,000 premium for health, dental, vision.
Stipend's going to 105 in January.
105 a meeting versus 100 a meeting, yeah.
Plus the budgeted 5 meetings a month.
Six
meetings. So I'll bump that up a little bit, assuming that will be approved.
Yeah, why does it say budgeted 5 meetings a month?
Because that's under the current policy.
Oh, I see.
What's co-power?
Co-power is the dental and vision.
CFO, acting CEO, ready for us to act?
I think I've covered essentially everything in the I believe I've gone relatively conservative on the increase in property tax revenue. I've done a 2% increase over what the budget was this current year. This current year is projecting to exceed the current budget of $6.6 million. So I think I'm relatively conservative on that revenue figure, and we could actually experience more.
A good place to be conservative.
Yeah.
Covers up a lot of wounds.
Yeah.
Good. So we don't actually approve this. We recommend that we forward it to the board. Okay. Any further discussion? Is there a motion to recommend we forward it to the board? So moved. Is there a second?
Second.
All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Great.
Good job.
Thing. That takes us through that. Let's go to the Desert Healthcare Foundation. Meeting the order. Is a motion to approve the agenda? So moved.
So moved.
All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any public comment?
Nope.
Okay. Motion to approve the minutes of the April 9th meeting. Motion for a second. All those in favor aye. Opposed. CEO.
I have no report for the foundation.
Okay. Financial statements. 4-11.
Okay, so just this kind of a high level overview on page 5 of 18.
We have 142,000.
Are those the
profit and loss
right
budget
numbers? Yeah, so profit and loss budget versus actual. So over under the fourth column, which is the July to April, and then compared to budget. So we're favorable, 215,000 year to date, compared to what was projected for the year. We did anticipate that there, in our budget, we anticipated that we may get some funds from a grant that we applied for last year, the AB 617, I believe it was, which we did not receive. So there's some offset with that in play here. So we have less grant expense, the 8052 grant number or account number. And because of the market doing well on the investments, if you look at line 8040 up in the income section, it's been very favorable regarding the gain on those investments. We have 296,000 versus projected of 8,000.
Great. Any questions on those? How about deposits? Page 9. What's the American Society of Investment?
That's the Federal Reserve.
Got it. Check register, page 10. Grant schedule, page 11. Any questions on that? If not, how about a motion to approve the financial statements?
So moved.
And second?
Second.
All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Annual budget, 12 to 18.
Okay, so let's focus on 15 of 18. So projecting a loss for the year of 356,000, and the majority of that is coming from, we are allocating wages from the district in the amount of $327,000 on line 5101. And the purpose for that is partially, you know, there's some oversight and management of, on the foundation side, but we do recognize that there's going to need to be some significant time spent towards trying to develop some funding options in this next fiscal year. And I didn't budget anything in here anticipating that we would receive the additional funding. So if we do, then we, you know, we receive that monies, and then that allows us to grant out or provide funding for opportunities in the expanded area.
But if you don't, it just is a balance sheet entry.
Right.
Right.
Yeah. So this is
worst case. That's the worst case.
Yes.
What were the gifts that you expected to get in the third and the fourth quarters? Gifts and contributions.
I just have a $30,000 built in there for just some external, like foundation contributions. We do get some monies from. The St. Paul Foundation, that we get some contribution from somebody that used to live here. I'm sorry?
You get all those benches I'm selling in the Wellness Park.
Oh, that's right, yeah.
You sell the Wellness Park benches?
Yeah, Donna's a not only a grant-making or grant-funding person, but she's collecting monies too. For
trees, for benches. Kay's actually buying a bench.
What's the bench?
$2,500.
Would
you like to buy
one? Yeah, let me get through my.
She's got a great deal for you.
That I can consider.
And we'll wherever you want it.
What's the reason to break out the stipend to $4.04?
The reason on you're looking at page 16,
yeah,
which is the community health analyst. The reason that we have that is based under the TCE grant.
So it's a,
that we
it's
have,
a grant requirement.
So it's yeah, so it's a base plus, and that stipend is considered for, you know, benefits and that sort of thing. Since we,
you don't just fold it into salary.
No.
No.
So that, and the way the budget was set up, the $60,000 is a base. Was what the base salary was, and then there was you know, benefits as a portion above that. And to that point, that goes away essentially the end of second quarter or November.
Yeah. Any additional questions? Is there a motion to approve the foundation budget is submitted? The motion, is there a second?
Second.
Second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? But we are adjourned.
2 minutes early.
4 o'clock.